Thank you. Stephanie Wade, chair of the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council, and it's, let's see, 3:02. I'm going to convene. I know that we'll take roll in just a second, but it looks like we're about to have a meeting. I think we just formed. So if I can make. Tim, can I ask you to do the honors and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I take the roll.
It's Don Perry.
Present.
Eric Dwayne. Alexis Federico,
here.
Alex Maslin. Robert McDonald.
Here.
Michael Radigan. Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Present. I don't really have much to start the meeting. We have a lot to get through. I will point out just one thing for anybody that's here, for a lot of us, because I'm stunned by how many veterans aren't taking advantage of it. The PACT Act, you can apply for it at any time, but if you apply for it today, at least doing an intent to file, and you receive benefits, those benefits will be backdated to the year the legislature started, which is last year of intent. So you're potentially leaving, you know, thousands of dollars in benefit on the table. But that said, I'm concerned that people get confused about who benefits. It is not for victims, which I think is the major cohort that's most affected. There's also a lot of Vietnam era veterans who weren't in Vietnam, but were exposed to those same herbicides. And it's also people like myself who are Camp Lejeune water contamination from the 80s before. So please look for your benefits.
Steph, on that, isn't today the last day?
Yeah,
it's the last day to apply for the retroactive benefits, right, to the date that the legislation began. And I can turn it over to Eric if we need to, but I think that's about, you can apply for it. Those benefits do not end. It's a permanent benefit. Am I correct there?
That's right. And all it is an intent to file.
Right.
I've got things that I've intended to file, so I'll finish that up probably.
So moving on, I think we're joined by a guest, a dear friend of mine. Tammy Pang is going to be speaking about something that's really important. And I'll just say by way of opening this up, they're going to ask for a little help from us. And this is precisely what I should be doing. Tammy's going to be presenting the Master Plan on Aging and How It Affects Veterans. She is the director of Advance OC, which is basically working for the county. To help do the outreach for the Master Plan on Aging. And we hear a great deal, and we know that we have a rapidly aging cohort of veterans that we want to probably, you know, there are issues about who we want to age in place, you know, and people staying in their homes in our county. So there are going to be a couple of outreach events that Tammy's going to talk about, and I'm hoping that lots of us can on the council can attend and help provide feedback, but also help let people know about what Tammy is about to present. Tammy?
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. Disclaimer, I'm not supposed to be here today, but so too bad you got me, our president. Has to be here, but she has other matters she had to attend to. So here I am, and I so look forward to seeing you all, because we're veterans, and I'll tell you a little bit why. So I am Tammy with an associate director of operations, and just a little bit background about me. I'm a licensed attorney. I'm a practicing not really now, but you know, been buyer for many years, more than 20 years. And I've been in the public and private sector doing family law, civil litigation, whatnot. But last 15 or so years working for nonprofit organizations, including nonprofit legal organizations, because through my years of working as an attorney, I realized there's just so much need in the community. Of course, a lot of us, most of them cannot be addressed by the court system, as you know. So I guess, even though I'm licensed, I don't really practice in a sense of work, which I know Alexis understand. But the last few years, like a few years ago, I just had the fortune of working with a professional office and then subsequently a state senator's office. And that's also where I met Stephanie. And I have to say that it wasn't until then that I really had the chance to meet veterans, to work with them, know about their stories. So many of them touched me in so many ways that I still remember. So I guess what I'm saying is, even though I don't come from a military family, but the veteran issue was so close to my heart. I can't tell you, I just have to know how many times we're frustrated sitting around, what can we do for him? What can we do for her? After so many years of getting nowhere with the federal government. Yeah, I'm speaking on my behalf, I'm not representing anyone. But anyway, just so you know, so this is an opportunity that I'm really looking forward to. So a little bit about Advanced OC. Oh, so by the way, so I'm telling you this, not to, you know, brag about my background, but just to really tell you that I don't have a data science background. So if you have any data question, my answer is probably going to be no, because I don't know any answer. So we will definitely find you the answer. Katie is really the expert on data. But I don't really need to talk about data now, but then I do want to talk a little bit about why we're here. What are we doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? So this is a little bit about, well, us, you know, at SOC, we're a nonprofit, 501c3, founded back in 2019. Again, our mission is to close the social and health disparities in this county. Someday we hope to expand outside of Orange County, but we know that here in this county, there's so much work needs to be done. And then we really accomplish this by mapping. So if you haven't heard or seen the OC equity map, I really encourage you after this meeting to go online, get out your phone, and just to see what that is. So we use more than 50 indicators of the social progress index to come up with the map, basically, that provide a lot of information about, you know, about the neighborhood. We use mostly census data and other sources to give you a pretty good and even surprising picture of our own community and our own neighborhood. So please do take a look after the meeting if you haven't. So just a little bit about older adult population. I know it's not a, I know many of you, not all of you in this room probably know a lot more about this than me, but this is based on the 2021 Census Bureau's American Community Survey. You're able to see really the population of Orange County, the total population, 3.16 million, and then we're looking at close to 700 older adults. And we here define that as 60 years and older. I know we've seen different, you know, definitions. Sometimes we see 55, sometimes we see 62, sometimes we see 65. But the California Master Plan for Aging, which I'll get to a little bit, uses the 60 years and over as the kind of the benchmark. So we're, for the purpose of what we're doing for the county, that's what we're using. Gender, all of that, and their race, ethnicity. All right, so if there's anything, I don't know if you want to go through all the numbers, but there's anything that you have any questions about, or you want, you know, we want to explore a little bit.
I think we can send it around. Yeah. You have to do that. Okay.
Yeah, and this is, again, actually, this is something that we constructed for, backtrack a little bit. So, EquityOC, which is an initiative by the Washington Public Health Agency, back in, I don't know how long, I think 2020, 2021, EquityOC. And we at Advances, the data partner. So EquityOC really is to, you know, the goal is to really address health disparities from Washington. So they're bringing together everyone, really. And FSOC had a partner with HCA to draft various population over community, the API community, the LGBTQ, others, and this is the one. These are statistics from the older adult population, the population that we propose for AGOC. And then again, a continuation, right? Breaking down household, family, and marital status. I mean, this is interesting, right? You see 60% of older adults, 60 and over, who are married, but then we're looking at 39% who are totally not married. So they need to live alone. They may be homeless. So really, to us, for the purpose of our assessment, the 39% is really the group that we're really most concerned with. Education, attainment, various. Oh, and the other one, of course, if you look at the first one, population, you're looking at responsibility for grandchildren under 18, there are close to 10% of older adults that are either living with a grandchild or grandchildren or taking care of them, right? So after all these years, taking care of, like, my younger daughter's going off to college next week. And I'm finally done with them, but then, in a few years, maybe I'll have to take care of my grandchildren. It's just something to think about. Probably some of us are really doing.
You may.
I try not to think about that. Okay. Well, this is interesting. So this is the top 10 city of older adult resident, right? Anaheim, Huntington Beach, Indiana be the top three. And then the green number you see are the increases, right? These three are also with the highest population concentration, so that kind of makes sense. But what we do want to point out, of course, is Laguna Woods, which is right here. That is all, 95%, if not more, seniors. And then we have, the Lakeview Senior Center, the Community Center, and then, of course, the Asian American Senior Citizen Service Center. So there aren't that many that really focus on serving the senior population, but we just want to point out a few here. Because sometimes we get a question, well, how come Laguna Woods isn't part of the top 10? Because we're really looking at the entire population of the city, not just the percentage of older adults. And, when we have more, I don't want to talk about this too much, it's really depressing, but, that's the reality, right? We're looking at heart disease, cancer, and other causes. Again, I'll share this information with you afterwards. Psychological distress. I think this is an issue that's been existing way before COVID. People don't talk about it, right? Especially older adults. I don't think, especially veterans. Also, a lot of the cultural differences. I know I'm Chinese American. I know my parents will never talk about this, even though I can see they need help. If you ask them, they're never going to admit. They're never going to ask for help. Right, so this is something we don't know how to address that to this day, right? So when that's already prevalent before COVID, I imagine what the pandemic has done to not just the kids at home, not having, we all hear about the news all the time. Kids are not at school, they miss their friends, they're being isolated. Well, I think it's even more so for older adults, we just didn't talk about it, we still don't talk about it. This is another thing, right? And I think I read it before, so I know it's not on here. About Orange County, for some reason, we have one of the highest rate of older adults either having Alzheimer's / dementia or projected to have that. And nobody knows who that. This is Orange County. Yeah. Okay. All right, here we go. So this is what we're talking about. This may look familiar to some of you. I know for Talia for sure. So back in 2019, I think January 6, 2019, Beverly Neeson, Big Leagues, calls the California Master Plan for Aging. And he wants to basically, like what it sounds like, one have master plan to address the aging population of California. By the way, I wrote that down here on my list about to make sure. So older adults is actually the highest, most rapidly growing population in Orange County, in California, maybe in the entire country, right? Which is overall the aging population. So you know, some numbers to give you some perspective, in California, projected by 2030, there will be 10.8 million older adults to see a number. In Orange County, somehow, you know, we can only find the 65 and older population. We estimate by 2030 is 926,000, or 28% of the population. So that is only 7 years away, is that right? 28%, close to 30% of us. Older adults. So these are significant numbers, right? So again, back to the California Master Plan for Aging. So governor released that back in 2019. And under that plan, there are five, what he called bold goals. And housing for all ages, for all stages and ages, health reimagined, inclusion, equity, not isolation, caregiving that works, and affording aging. And under each of the five, there are various, you know, called strategies to address each of the five bold goals. And so this is pretty much verbatim from the California Master Plan. So with that plan, we believe there's a mandate for each of the 58 counties in California to create a master plan for aging. So that's what we came in. So the county contracted with FSSC early this year to conduct an older adults needs assessment. And the result of which, hopefully, well, you know, inform the county when it plans their master plan for aging for Orange County. So using really the model metrics here, we devised a plan to assess the older adult population in Orange County. Oh, I don't know why this is toward the end. Well, anyway, so this is a project led by our fearless leader, Katie Kavoda. And then we also have a few PhDs who are helping us do the data expert. And then we have our director of strategic partnership, operation outreach, and then we have a couple of researchers and CIA analysts who this is really their passion that they do this for a living, so to speak. And then we also have a few USC and UCF public health informatics students who are working with. We actually have number of them throughout the year. They all want to come in and work with NSSC because of the work that we do. They not just because of the data piece, but because of what, you know, how we're always in the community, really passionate about community work. So this is our plan in terms of conducting and accomplishing the assessment. So through basically five survey instruments, stakeholder interviews, community survey, provider survey, focus groups, and town hall. We launched the assessment back in March. Claudia was the co-presenter at the kickoff, right? And so we pretty much took into high gear. So the very first thing that we did was the stakeholder interviews. I understand the California National Plan, they interview about 80 stakeholders throughout the whole state. We interview more than 80 in Orange County. So we went out, we really want to talk to people who basically serve the community more. Heard from them, we want to know what the issues are. We of course have some idea, but we need to learn from them in order to really move on to the next phase, which is to devise the survey so we can, you know, just really to improve the instrument that we'll be pushing out to the community. So we completed the stakeholder interviews in July, and then we officially released the provider survey day after July 5th. And then we have that provider survey up and running until the end of August. And so again, those of you who are really serving veterans or as you know older adults, all qualified providers. Yeah, these are professional who provide healthcare, food, housing, legal services, all qualified as paid providers. So we love to hear from you. So this person that we'd love to engage your help with to let's disseminate, help us disseminate the provider survey. And then we are currently working, we started the focus group, also Samita and also if, we talked to Stephanie and Alexis about to have a few veterans come together and want to do focus groups with them, as well as town hall and or town hall, right? So these are the things, again, going back to what Stephanie said, we really need your help to help us put together one or more town halls for veterans. We understand, you know, having something in North County may not be convenient for those who live in South County. So Alex suggested maybe we do something in the Dana Point or in South County. So these are things that we're gonna work with you on that. Any questions so far? I know I tried to go really fast and make sure before you South County. Yes.
So your data, I didn't see data on veterans.
You know, that's why we need to hear from you. That's the thing. There's just so little. And yeah, I'll talk later about that. So this is the timeline, the project timeline. Again, we started at the end of March and we are right here. We're doing focus group, finishing up our provider survey for hiring professionals. And as we move on to community survey, which will be placed from September to the end of the year. And then we'll continue to focus group, town halls, and just really push out for the community survey. Again, that's something we want to hear from everybody in Orange County, whether you're federal or not. There's going to be a question the community survey about whether you're a veteran. So we want to be able to disseminate that information. And then the idea is to complete those four and turn that over to the county by the end of February 2024. And then it's in their court what you do with it, right?
So if I might ask, Tammy, where we are now, July through September timeframe, with the small focus groups, mm-hmm. The reason why Tammy is here with us presenting today, because we really want to target the priority populations, veterans included in that priority population, that as Advanced OC is planning for their focus groups to give that to the community to make sure that we reach out to our veterans communities and helping advance us plan on where to go and guide that process, tapping into some of your own knowledge and resources in terms of locations and host locations where we can link Advance OC to bring the focus and really engage our veteran population in participating in the survey. Because without the voice of our veterans in terms of needs and services as we age, so we want to focus on aging in place, it will really help gather as much information and of course stakeholder feedback on the veteran's perspective. That will overall, coming down to what you said, what are we gonna do with all this information? Then the county is really tasked with really looking at the results of all the surveying and all the priority groups and really identifying where are those needs? What does the residents of Orange County need? What services do we have in place already aligned with that? And where are our service gaps? Ultimately develop the Orange County's master plan on aging to be inclusive of all our priority populations, but really looking and identifying on what do we have now, but what do we need to plan for and guide that process into the future? What kind of programs and gaps are there to try to eliminate that? And so Advance OC has the monumentous task of surveying our whole county, but likewise, the county and the partners involved in helping and planning the master plan on aging also has a lot to do with what do we do with all this information, right? What does that need to look like? In a sense, yes, we need to mirror the state's, the governor's release of the master plan and the 5 marketing goals, but what does that locally look like for us? That is the task and why Tammy is here today, really reaching out to you, to your expertise, to your connections in your community.
Thank you so much. And you know, Tammy has been a great partner. Since we rely on social services agency, HCA, just everybody to help us guide us. We have a team, but relatively small, but we, you know, really lean on your guidance in so many ways. So thank you so much.
I was just going to say, so I enjoyed our conversation. I think one of the issues that they're facing is that, you know, I think a lot of veterans, myself included, are a little bit hesitant to giving up personal data, right? And kind of talking through and confronting some of the issues that we face or that we might face or that we know face and giving that information up to the government. And so for the, I think they're really looking for buy-in from people like VFW and other veterans that are very visible. And I don't mean to just go out at the American Legion, Veterans Legal Institute, other people that are service providers and that are active in the community saying, hey, this is how your information will be protected, but we need this information because all of this data that we're analyzing is only as good as the data that you give us. And so I think what you're looking for, Tammy, if I understand, is that we can send you and connect you with people that we know, providers at this point, and then maybe work with you with some ideas, again, you know, not only on locations, but whether the events can be big or small, or even just connecting you with groups where it might be worth having, you know, you having a one-on-one conversation with that local commander, the commander spreading the word and getting people and ways to incentivize getting veterans to fill out.
Absolutely. It's funny. We have a plan, but then we have a plan that changes almost every day. It's so cute, right? Alexis, we're like, oh, wow, we should do this. You're so right. Right? I mean, we have in our mind, that's what we need all of you. There's certain way that we think that we should help that girl or service the veteran, but then what do we know? Right? That's why it's so important to be here for all of you in all of your contact.
I think Alexis's point is that your stakeholder organizations are going to be the easiest way for you to get the members. You have Council on Aging, for instance, you know, they have
they are.
Yeah. They just hire a new full-time veteran. Staff to serve only aging veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone, the numbers case should give you a pretty good detailed look, you know, and obviously the broader data can come. But that's great. The big, like some really big posts, Legion posts.
And Tammy, this has been, I referenced him during our call. He's someone that you should meet and discuss.
All right. Nice to meet you.
The time I want to make sure we get through your presentation.
Okay,
so Doran, I want to make sure we don't slow you down.
I think this is it. So here we go. Like, what can we do? What can you do to help us right now? What can we do to help? Right? Again, you know, the coming town hall resource fairs. So we even actively setting these up. You know, we had our staff meeting this morning. I think we've done like two focus groups. I think in the next 2 weeks, maybe 10 or so that are already set. So we're actively doing all of this. But then of course, there are a lot more to do. So I think one of the strategies now, we're adopting is instead of hosting our own town hall, I think we kind of talked about that last week, but guess what? We're not thinking, okay, because of the limited resource that we have, maybe if you have an event that's coming up, you know, Bobby, maybe you have an event for a veteran, let me know. We're gonna go out there and survey them, right? Because that's just that this is the partnership we're looking for because it's so hard.
Katie knows.
I know. I'm just using you as an example. I know.
I do have a question, Katie.
Yes.
Hey, do you have? I know that Katie and I have talked about doing some of this. She came to our small business development first network. We had the veterans thing, and we talked about this. Have you put together a schematic or an outline of what you're looking at for those folks groups? What kind of questions you're looking for?
Oh, yeah.
You have one of those already for veterans?
Because we're not doing this particular assessment. It can only be, it has to be uniform across the board. Yeah.
But if you're going to be in front of veterans, you should have veteran questions. Okay, anyway, but
I think, you know, what we would love to do, even on the red card, we would love to do a separate veterans assessment, just veterans. This is something you need to internally been talking about for so long.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're going to a senior center, for example, and you're doing a survey of all the seniors, but set that up easy.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you have the questions about veterans, just so we collect them?
Like what kind of question?
Are you a veteran?
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah, we have in our survey, there is a question about whether the veteran status. I thought it'd be something specifically that veterans should answer. I misunderstood the question. We do have that.
Yeah, so you can get the data on veterans by virtue of if they check that they're a veteran.
Yeah.
You can track that data. So you don't have any specific questions just for veterans.
No.
And when we last spoke, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the intent was to have at least 2 veteran-specific town halls. And what you're saying now, that you've changed your thinking on that and you just want to make that more inclusive to your...
We still want that to happen to the extent that we can. I know we talked about heroes, we're going to, you know, something I'm going to do. I wasn't sure I was going to see you here today, and I'm going to follow up with you about that. And then, of course, talk to you about Lexis. And I know we're also currently working with Frank Berry, the SW Anaheim. I think they're also meeting at this moment. So we're just trying to talk to, measuring ourselves both. No, this is it. So again, you know, really for us, you know, we're out there, our team's out there, all of the events, and sometimes we just get a call and say, hey, I, for example, got connected with the Buena Park City Council member who's Korean American, just told us a couple of days ago that there's a senior Saturday event in her city on Saturday. And we got a table and we're gonna go. So it's one of those things, right? So we hear about it, especially when, you know, fall comes, there's just so many expos and senior event or you know, for the resource fair and things like that. So yeah, please do let me know.
If you do any of these events for a veteran specific audience, like a town hall at Heralds Hall or something like that, can you make sure to, we can give you the contact information. We actually have an events committee, and it would be really helpful if you. Sorry, I think I was, So if you could make sure, and I'll give you Lieutenant Colonel Radigan's number, but that way that information makes it back to us, we can attend and also help the number out.
This is it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be in touch with you about Heroes Hall, and we can discuss that. Just so you're aware, we don't meet again until the 11th of October. So, you know, if you want something specific in fact, it's going to have to wait until then.
Yeah.
More than likely.
We also learned from the two of you that we shouldn't be waiting right around Veterans Day because you're all going to be so lazy, right?
Unless you show up at Veterans Day,
correct,
which is another option. But yeah, that's not
true. 34 of them.
That's it?
34, right?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Tammy. I wanted you to go first. I know you're busy, and I'd like to move on to public comments. I know Robert Buchanan has he'd like to address the council. So, Robert, you have the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'm asking for help humbly. Business partner, Commander Grimes, and I for the past year. I know I'm not the only veteran in this county starting business or has an active business, doesn't matter what industry field they're working in, starting for their favor to mental health and addiction treatment. That's our specialty. We are a week or two away from opening our doors and being able to treat people. It's been a year-long process, grabbing as much data as I can, DBBE, state, federal, sub and prime contracts, set asides for disabled veteran-owned businesses. What I found is a lot of red tape, a lot of challenges, and a lot of room for improvement. I'd like to humbly say we can do better here at the county level. Federal money trickles all the way down to the city for different projects. From what I understand, DBBE, any state dollars that go to said project should be giving a set aside for disabled veteran-owned businesses. What I've heard is county, local, municipal, they don't have to do that. I'm not one to say, okay, cool. I ask why humbly, but why can't we do better to serve a county that has prospered from the military community, from urban building homes to tax money that goes right back into this wonderful place we live. A call to the Central Procurement Office. They could not give me any data on subprime contracts awarded for any industry makes code to a disabled veteran-owned business. That, to me, is disheartening. Over this, almost done, forgive me if I'm running over the 3 minutes. For this past year, I've been trying to set up a meeting with District 2, District 5. Our office will be in District 2. Just to start a conversation. Why can't we talk about improving. There's an 8-point bidding set aside. That's great. There's a reason why we're not thriving in life. And this would be a really, for a county that pushed through hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts. A very 1%, whatever, just start the conversation of why can't we better serve those who want to continue to serve their local communities? And lastly, just a call for action. I've been spinning in the mud for over a year now, trying to sit down with the policymakers, and I'm not getting anywhere. So we're taking it to the, we're in direct contact with some local senators within our district and congressional representatives as well. I tried at the local level. This is my last effort. I need you guys' help. You're the bridge in between me and them. So without, thank you.
And the name of your organization, just so that everybody has it.
Okay. Risen Warriors Treatment Centers. And again, we provide mental health and addiction treatment needs for those who served or their families. Thank you for your time.
Do we have any other public comment or any other communication that came in?
That's right.
Yeah. So moving on in a busy agenda, I'd like to go to action items. And the first is a recommendation that really follows up on something we did last week. I'd like to do a little discussion first. It's the recommendation or request that the Veterans Service Office take written OCVAC meeting minutes. And by the way, to be clear that we wanted just action minutes. And for instance, the Board of Supervisors action minutes, which are very long because they have enormous agendas, are included in our packet. So we'd like to be clear to do that, because let me add this. At the moment, I think the situation that brought this about is, if you want to go back and look at the records of what was done at an OCVAC meeting or what was decided, you have to go back and listen to the audio of individual OCVAC meetings. The audio is very difficult to hear, and it's not indexed in any way. And there's no way for people to search it, including us. So for instance, when I was looking for a letter for another item on this, it was very hard to find. And luckily, I had the letter saved in personal files that got me there. We have no real record of anything that we've done. And so we're looking for something short, not to burden staff. And that's, I think, what prompted the resolution. In fact, I think we thought we had discussed this last week, or I'm sorry, last meeting. In June, and that we were expecting to have action meetings minutes from June. And so now I think we're revisiting this issue and saying that we want action minutes summarizing all actions taken at OCVAC meetings, beginning with our next meeting on October 11th. So that's what's on the floor for consideration, and I invite council members for discussion. And then I'd also like to hear from Claudia.
I'd like to start. So you sit behind me, he's clicking away. I just assume take a minute. This is my third time. We're going back to 1998. Are you telling me that there's no minutes all these years? Never been minutes there? So what is staff doing here? What's the purpose of staff being here if you have no minutes, no action? I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was giving everyone a chance to like make their comments and discuss, and then we can definitely stay on that. To answer that question, staff are here to not only, let's just say, take minutes, and I can't really speak on because I don't have the correct information to go back in years back on what was done or what worked, what didn't work. Certain requirements, of course, currently staff set up the room. They do support, provide that support to meetings so that we can schedule a meetings, get the agendas out, post, they're here monitoring the audio recording that right now, yes, the audio recording is was being utilized and approved by our county as official minutes so that we can post them timely and get that taken care of so that we can abide by regulations, in this case, the Brown Act. So in this recommendation, of course, the recommendation is being voted on or as an action item today is to address action written minutes because right now only audios are posted as the official minutes recording. And so now
looking at the table and what kind of examples, what do we really want to envision out of that in terms of what the format of minutes look like. That's what's under the consideration now for us to take back and see about that. From our perspective, of course, in order to provide that support to our councils, we look at internally making sure that we go through our county procedures and process to improve whatever new process is going to be, but also the issues that we in Alexis that's addressing the staffs, like our infrastructure in terms of the staff to make sure that we always can and will have someone that will be dedicated to taking those minutes in their absence, what are our next, you know, who does. So making sure that we have someone to do that, to capture them. Things to consider is in transcribing the minutes, to making sure that if we're transcribing that into written form, that do we capture accurately, and also thinking about developing a process of then who reviews, how do we approve, and so on and so forth, to make sure that we've accurately captured and transcribed written. So we definitely wanted to release one that's at the table as a consideration for us to look at what does that need to look like for us internally.
What is the procedure? What is the procedure for approving this? Do we have the board take action on this?
So, I mean, so to your point, Stephen, I was hoping this is something, I mean, you look at the bylaws right here, and under Article 15, staff support from the county shall be provided to support the council in conjunction with the work of the council. The council establishment and operation shall be at no cost to the county, except for general clerical administrative support provided by the county. So they're responsible for doing the agenda, right? The draft agenda that obviously is the chair's agenda, but they're responsible for typing it up and sending it out. They're responsible for posting the minute meetings in whatever form and drafting the minute meetings for our approval. And so this is something that certainly falls within the purview of bylaws. And obviously our board of supervisors uses action minutes. And the city of Dana Point does action minutes. It seems like kind of a no-brainer to me. And I know that while we're always cognizant of the time that it takes, as you pointed out, you know, we were told earlier when we were trying to revise the bylaws and move the meeting around to different parts of Orange County that we actually can't hold this meeting without staff support. So I'm on the secretary of a nonprofit and I send out the agenda and I sit there during the meeting. I participate in the meeting, but I also type away. And by the end of the meeting, it's done. And I maybe takes me 5 or 10 minutes and then, you know, to proofread, and then I send it out. And if you look at the example, it's, you know, from the Board of Supervisors meetings, it's your first attachment, but, you know, the meetings are hours long, right? And it's just, it's very simple. This was discussed, you know, this, and then ideally, right, we would vote on it because that's our obligation. So they would type something up and then it would be like any other board where you can propose revisions to it and then the board votes and finalizes the minutes. And I think this is just a huge benefit. And something that shouldn't really, you know, every 60 days should take more than 5-10 minutes.
American League in the calendar.
Yeah.
Every nonprofit, every
so
board.
82-year-old man or woman who's taking minutes, and then we approve the minutes for the next meeting. Yeah. It's just basic Robert's Rule of Order. I'm really surprised that you don't do things. It just seems like it's natural. Can you tell us, who has accessed any recording in the last 20 years of this board, of this meeting? Is there any way to do that?
To have access to recordings, like archives?
Yes.
We definitely have some.
Has anybody ever downloaded a recording of one of these meetings?
Are you speaking externally, just to be clear, externally, like let's say if you all or anyone in the public wants to like download an archive,
yeah.
Yes, they're able to do that. Yes.
Do you have a way to pull that record?
Yes, we do keep
the
slide.
Could you, just for our own validation for next month, could you tell us, just go back 2 years and say how many people have downloaded the minutes of the knockback meeting?
That is information I can't confirm that we have in terms of the analytics in the website to know exactly how many have downloaded.
It's kind of rhetorical.
It just seems
that this is a simple thing. Please let's just do it. And we don't have to go to court. Let's take a hold on. I'll make the motion that we take minutes and then we approve the minutes at the next court meeting.
If I may just
direct staff to do that.
I'd like to hear from the council. First, Eric. So, John, did you want to?
I agree. I mean, I was always under the assumption there were written, because every organization I've been in been with, we've done that and approved them in the next meeting. So I think, and we don't have a ton of action items, so I don't think it's going to be a lot of labor involved. But I think it's a really good idea.
Up until 4 years ago, there were written minutes. Okay, there were written minutes, and there were also archived minutes. There was some issues, and sometimes when some of the minutes automatically got lost, I don't know if they automatically got lost, but they got lost. You can't go back and get them. But up to about 4 years ago, we were taking written minutes. The reason why I know is because I had to review.
Can I add some context? Since
go ahead, Eric.
Supervisor for the DSO from 2021. As a supervisor, I took to set up for Desiree's right now everything, all the audio recordings, and transcribed those minutes for Bob to approve, and also posted them to the Fact Committee's website. That is not a small task, just so you guys have some information to deliberate on. It is one that does take up more than 30 minutes, 10 minutes, especially when you're running an office. So I appreciate the task that you're considering something that's actually, but there is a way to pull that
information. I appreciate that point. And did you have more on that, Eric?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that little context because there was quite a table when I was present with this body and also with this office that it has been done. I did leave here in touch with
you. So this is what I'd say though. I keep hearing from staff the word transcribe. We're not asking for that. That's why it's action minutes, in other words. And by the way, I think that's clear in what we submitted as an example. So for instance, board appointments, Chairman Wagner, Orange, this is from the packet in this packet. And it just describes who was appointed. That's all that needs to happen. Nobody is asking staff to transcribe what was said. And that's available and it's meeting, you know, any state standard. If somebody wants to go back and find the verbatim of what was said at a particular meeting. But how would they know which meeting to go to? Which transcript to listen to? If there's no written summary of what happened at a particular meeting. And I might add, if the supporting documents aren't there. Like, there's no way to search right now. And it basically, I'm going to put it this way. I think the people on this council have suffered from, we're all volunteering and it's very difficult to get here. And we wonder what its value is. And I'm going to take ownership of my part of that. And I think I haven't led as forcefully as I should. And I think that we can do better. But I think we also need the staff support. And to be frank, there's some things that are on the agenda that are important. Discussion items were hard to find. The things that we've done in the past that were important, they shouldn't be hard to find. We should have a record of them. And I don't think it's injurious to ask the staff to simply take the agenda, the agenda as a template and say, what happened on this side? What happened on that side? What happened on this side?
Two minor points. And I went through and listened to the recording when I led the last meeting, and I was trying to find out the meeting I missed on maternity leave, what exactly the motion said. You know, we don't have copies of the motions, right, or the recommendations on the agenda. So they're made verbally at the meetings. You know, it's audio only. You can't tell who said what and what the discussions are. And then the audio cuts out and it's garbled. I mean, it's just, it's not workable. And, you know, I, again, this is something that I, quite frankly, it could be done with very little time. That could mostly be done during the meeting. And I'll tell you, you know, we went from meeting 11 times a year to 7. Right. So that's at least an hour of meeting. And then that's time of prepping the room and doing the agendas that we just gave back to y'all. And so I don't think it's an unreasonable ask to get some action items out of this with the time that we gave back. So.
And we're only looking at a summary, not a court report.
No, goodness, yeah. No.
Well,
no.
That's not what we also discussed.
It wasn't a court report. But
what is it on the agenda here?
What we're discussing with the agenda items is here. We're discussing what I asked for last time, the examples that were provided. We don't want a transcript, just so we're clear. We want action items, which most of them, you're essentially doing the agenda, right? And then you're just putting this item, you know, discussion item, discussion held. You know, action item. This is the, and the most important stuff really is the motion, the wording of the motions and who voted and how they voted.
And incidentally, they were provided for these action items specific language was given, and it, you know, and they kept coming out in the agenda that I was trying to produce. So it's going to be more difficult for staff now because we're going to have to state it verbally. And now I'm going to expect that, you know, if this vote carries, what we're voting on is the next meeting on October 11th, and we're going to have a transcript that has a transcript of whatever we decide to verbally is the motion and whatever we decided and voted on. So if we made it harder by not including the specific language of the motion. We were, it was Alexis's motion, and we gave specific language, and we didn't include it here in the agenda. So now we're going to have to do it verbally. So it's going to be a little hard, but it's easy. We can give it to you in advance as an action item, and it's just voted on.
Look, I mean, I know the city and Dana Point, their person who does their minutes, their meetings are much more longer and more involved than ours. And she sits there and she has them and she types them up. And by the time the meeting's over, they're out the door. So again, if you're spending so much time on it, then there's a disconnect between your expectations and our expectations. And we're happy to work. Like I said, I volunteered at the last meeting. I'm happy to sit down, you know, and go through and kind of help get this going. But it really should be something that you're doing.
Alexis, I appreciate that extent of help, and I think moving in terms of this action items, we want to make that recommendation as action, and then for us to go back to look at the format. How do we want to capture kind of what it does need to look like, and have that open discussions, obviously outside, in terms of really cleaning that up and what it needs to look like. The sample in your package is just as simple as that, right? A sample, like, if we're trying to capture Stephanie's ask in terms of, as just an example of like that kind of language, as opposed to just finding like, you know, from beginning to end and who's in what. So it is that. It's for you to bring forward that recommendation and for us to take that back to come up with like the best efficient way to address the recommendations.
When we meet on the 11th, we'll have an example of it, I think, if this motion comes.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, like, my motion is not going to be, I mean, we're requesting, right? Because you guys are obligated to provide us by the bylaws. We're not ordering you to do anything, but we're requesting with the expectation that starting the next, you know, meeting, we're going to have action items for action minutes for this meeting. So, like I said, the invitation stands. I'm happy to work with people. And again, this can be an iterative process. If we get them and we say, hey, these are great, we'll approve them, but next time you don't need to put as much, or hey, we want to make sure and capture this, and that's fine, but we need to get the process started. So, well,
yeah. Okay, so I think the question is, I think we've had the discussion of the motions on the floor, but do we need to reword the motion?
We're going to have to actually state, yeah. I think, the motion.
Exactly. So do you have the language you want to use?
So I'll put that up. So. Okay.
Minutes.
Yeah, we'll just say, you know, OCVAC requests the Veterans Service Office take written OCVAC action or written shall take written action minutes for each meeting starting August 9th, 2023. And then the second part of that, where did I have that in? And then OCVAC shall vote to approve the action minutes in the subsequent meetings.
Yeah, I want to make sure, since Desiree, were you able to take that down? Just otherwise, you're going to have to go back to the transcript that we're going to post online, the recording.
I have most of it. I can listen to the recording.
Actually, you know what? Let me do this. I'm just going to go with the one that I sent on the request for the agenda. So I will strike my previous motion and make the following. OCVAC requests that staff prepare action minutes for each OCVAC meeting. The action minutes shall contain, at a minimum, the agenda items from the previous meeting and reflect actions taken, council decisions, and public comments. OCVAC shall vote on whether to approve the action minutes at the following OCVAC meeting. Approved action minutes shall be posted on the OCVAC website along with the meeting's audio recording. So that's my motion.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Could you take a roll call vote, please?
We don't need roll call for in-person meetings.
Well, we don't. Yeah. I mean.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed? Abstentions. Okay. So let's move on. Second action item, state joint resolution, I'm sorry, Senate joint resolution 6, don't ask, don't tell, discharge characterizations. Recommendation to review and approve resending the 2021 OCVAC letter of support regarding Senate joint resolution 6, don't ask, don't tell, to the Orange County Board of Supervisors. So I realized that some of us have been on the board when we examined this very issue, but before there was a state bill on the table. The items were in your packets, and I know you had it, but I'll try and frame it very briefly and also just for the record. In essence, in 2021, the board took an action. I want to check that date. Yes, February 2021, the board, or the OCVAC sent to the Board of Supervisors a recommendation that they lobby on behalf of LGBT veterans who had been given bad conduct discharge because of their gender orientation or sexual identity. Basically, we're talking about people who were kicked out under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, as well as Vietnam-era veterans, Grand Clear veterans, earlier. And we identified over 100, or the expectation is that there are at least 114,000 veterans who have these bad conduct discharges. And despite the fact that we've ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we've ended the ban on transgender service, nothing's been done to make it any easier for these people to appeal or change the characterization of their discharge. So the ask in that letter was that the Board of Supervisors lobby on behalf of those veterans to the Orange County legislative delegation, which they did do. And they subsequently approved, all five supervisors voted in favor of that resolution. And I know Peter Navarro has talked to, at the time, Lou Correa, Young Kim, Mike Levin, Alan Lowenthal, Katie Porter, Linda Sanchez, and Michelle Steele. And so that ask was made. Now the state of California, that Senate joint resolution, is literally the state of California, its legislature asking the federal government to do the same thing. So in my mind, it seems to be a slam dunk. And I should point out that the supervisors voted that 5-0, all five supervisors. There's only one change on that board since then, and that's the addition of Vincent Sarmiento. But we would like to recommend it to them for their consideration. It's just simply a continuation of the OCVAC's previously stated position. That said, we have new members on the OCVAC, and so it seems to me it calls for a vote. So I'll put a resolution on the table that the OCVAC asks the Orange County Board of Supervisors to formally endorse and support state joint or Senate Joint Resolution 6 in support of LGBT veterans.
A second.
Thank you. Discussion. Does it need any?
I hope not. My only question is the form of the, so we're asking them, so it's essentially you're just drafting a cover letter stating that and then attaching the previous letter of support with our.
Yeah. We're voting.
We're voting to recommend.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay. And then I assume the format for that would be county will prepare the letter. I will sign it. And then it will go from there to the Board of Supervisors, all five supervisors. Is that correct?
Just to clarify, the letter that was drafted that's in the packet in 2021, are we resending this?
We're sending resending that with a cover letter that says, in light of Senate Joint Resolution 6, we're asking the county to lobby on behalf of this piece of legislation, which is
recommending. Yeah.
Yeah, recommendation.
Yeah. And then just with the. Okay, so that's the motion. Oh, can I second it? Or
I do. Steve already seconded. So, any further discussion? Great. Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Carries. Thanks. No, staying just for the hell of it. No kidding, Bob. Okay. Welcome home program is a similar item. It's one revisiting something the OCPAC already did. So I'll give the context to this. Those of us who were on the council in 2022 were extremely concerned that the effect the pullout from Afghanistan in particular had on veterans in our town. Most of us felt it. A lot of people like Alexis and I know her husband had, you know, close ties to Afghans that were left behind. And that brought up a lot of issues for most veterans. And it brought a lot of discussion in the OCPAC about what is being done for all the post 9/11 veterans whose wars ended so unceremoniously. And the idea was that perhaps the county should do what the federal government probably should be doing, and maybe we could even be a model, but that we simply do what the government very belatedly did with its welcome home program to Vietnam veterans. Let's just find some formal ceremony, some occasion to really acknowledge that these people served in a war, even if it didn't end, you know, with a ticker tape parade and a declaration of victory. You know, we want to acknowledge that these people were all volunteers, by the way. That's unique in really American history, that an all-volunteer force, people who joined and enlisted or took commissions at a time of war, and that we wanted to find just a simple way to recognize. We made that proposal, and you see the letter in the packet, and we sent it to the Orange County Board of Supervisors. I can tell you, because at the time I was staff to one of the supervisors, and I know she followed through, and we did some of those. In fact, Alexis's husband, Jamie, was a recipient of one of the welcome homes. It was simply a certificate and a pin thanking them for their services, for their service during this post 9/11 wartime period. This is simply a similar resolution, the idea being to remind the supervisors, none of whom took up our recommendation, that we still think it's a good idea, we'd like them to consider doing some kind of a recognition, either at the countywide level or as individual supervisors.
Question is, how is the funding for that page for the events?
And I think what we're recommending is that they find the budget for it, but I can tell you that they have rather large discretionary budgets of over $1 million that they use for community events all the time. And so, you know, the question is, it's always a question of priorities. Do they want to prioritize this? Do they want to buy some bins? Do they want to spend money on stationery, providing a certificate or whatever they choose to do? Do they want to be involved themselves in some way of specifically identifying, and connecting with and thanking post 9/11 veterans? Or is it just not in their priority list? And I'm suggesting that as a council, we recommend they do that. And just remind them we recommended this, and it's still a good idea. That's the motion.
If you can change the wording to make a statement that says and fund it so that they don't attack the service office and their budget for transportation.
That's a great friendly amendment, although I haven't really put the
lack there.
It's easy to roll that onto the staff.
Sure.
Yeah, if I might add, it says 2022, and we're almost shot with 2022. Do you want something to happen this year, or you want to wait till next year?
2024?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We have to change all the dates to 2024.
Yeah.
Or just think that in the cover letter.
And no, I think it's, we're just resending them the letter, and it's a reminder. It's sort of doing the same thing.
Okay. Right? And the time is right because I believe one of that, yeah, I believe it was Congresswoman Michelle Steele did something for the OEIO, whatever the
plans.
OEF. She did something. So it's out there. It's been done.
I'm sorry, who did that?
I think it was Michelle Steele, Congressman Michelle Steele. She did something. Or it was either Michelle Steele or Young Camp. Either one of them did something that had to do with that. Forgive me for not knowing all those letters.
And Supervisor Foley did too, which I know Chair Wade mentioned. And,
yeah.
And my husband and I attended that, as well as some veteran friends from law school of OIF and OEF. And, you know, I think our generation, you know, pale in the Gen X is kind of like, man, it's fine. And it was pretty touching. So
it's a time to let it go out. I think it's timing.
Yes.
Again, because it's been done already. Sorry. I'm sorry, I don't understand your comment. What are you saying, Bobby?
Well, I'm saying, but we already have people looking into it. So us send this letter saying we'd like for you to be involved from the county part.
And add the funding. You got a cover funding. Letter.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same format we did last time. We previously asked about that. We're raising this again. We think it's worthwhile. Request this in funding. I mean, does that work? Does that work, or do you want to just resend this letter and change the dates on it?
I suggest if you would resend the letter, but I say do a new letter. You can make reference to that letter, but you definitely want to add, but then say have fun.
The only thing I'm gonna say about doing a new letter is, before we could act on and vote on a specific letter, I think we've got to come. We'd have to come back and vote on a specific letter. And that's October 11th. And so now basically you're a month away from Veterans Day when they're most likely to do it.
I would submit, essentially inform what we just voted on doing, where you're attacking this and we're saying, hey, we're resubmitting this letter, to request your support and funding,
that's the way
for this. And that's all we can do. So it's essentially, we don't have to vote on it. We know what the letter has the intent of the
letter. Right, that's what I'm saying. Resend the letter.
We'll write with the cover letter.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm proposing.
Okay.
So let me put that into language that we can consider for a vote. The Orange County Veterans Advisory Council wishes to recommend that you revisit an issue that we first raised in the letter. And let me pull up the date.
5.1.
Yeah, but let's give a specific date.
March 9th, 2022.
I have a new appreciation for you on the dais at the council meetings with big packets. So March 9th, 2022, recommending that the county board of supervisors create and fund a welcome home program for post 9/11 veterans.
Can we change program to event?
Event, okay.
So OCVAT requests the board of supervisors revisit the issue OCVAT raised on March 9, 2022, recommending that the county board of supervisors create and fund a welcome home event for post 9/11 veterans.
Okay, no further discussion. Anyone?
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
All right, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, I think we're getting updates. Discussion committee. I actually want to give the floor to, before we do this, I'd like to make an announcement that I'd like to point, we've been without a vice chair. Main function of the vice chair is to stand in for the chair when the chair is unavailable. Alexis obviously did a fantastic job in June. So I'd like to appoint Alexis as the new vice chair. So I just want to make that clear. Hopefully that can be in a few minutes. And then moving on, I'd like to get to committee reports. And I'd like to invite the new vice chair to talk a little bit about her intent and what she discussed, because I thought it was terrific.
Right. I drove away the two standing committee leads for requesting these committee reports. So I don't know what that says. I just, Lieutenant Colonel Radigan is traveling on orders, which is why he couldn't be here. But I think that we should, I think the intent for the committees is to, now that we have the extra month, right, where we're not meeting, is to then the committees would meet during that time. And the bylaws state that pretty much all of us should be on some committee or another. And right now, I think, John, you joined Alex.
And we did not meet.
So. On the communications and the events and outreach is only Lieutenant Colonel Radigan. So he could certainly use some support. But, as I was discussing, hey, what do they do? The last time I was looking at the bylaws, and it wasn't clear to me what their asks, right? What we as a board are asking them to do. Because we have something called a communication standing committee, and that's something called an events outreach standing committee, and there's obviously a lot of overlap there. So I was hoping to ask the committees to offer up what they think that they should provide, right? You know, either that or we can sit here today and give them more specific guidance. But, you know, with the events, I think I was looking through the bylaws. One of the things that we're required to do as a board is tell the board of supervisors what the events are in Orange County that are veterans related. And it's not something that I think we've been doing recently. There was an effort originally, I think, when I first joined the board, of typing up like individual events and submitting them out into the board in general, but I think that stopped. And so I know for events, I think that's what we would like to see. And what we discussed at the last meeting was, hey, come up with a list of events. And instead of each of us coming up with our own events and then giving them to our own respective individual supervisors, it would be nice if we could compile those and then post them somewhere. And not just for us and not just for supervisors, for the public too.
Be hung on a website.
Right. And then I think there was some concern with legal, right? Because we don't want to have an endorsement or be seen to be endorsing. And then I think, Eric, didn't you volunteer that there was something we can put on the VSO's website? No. You weren't required. No, I'm not insinuating that you weren't. But yeah.
Body, which is, it's awesome.
On the VSO website. So yeah, it's on the VSO. Yeah, our page. Right. Okay. So, you know.
We better check something.
Sure.
And we asked, yeah, I see at one point time we had a Facebook page. So we had to eliminate all that. But anyway, our next meeting's not till October.
Uh-huh.
And I, some of the things that we do, our basic things, Memorial Day, you know, each one of the Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and pretty much the five birthdays, you know, if you want to count Space Force or Space Patrol, whatever, you can add that too. Those are some of the things that should be out there. And maybe what we should do with the committees is try to have something ready for October of a listing of what's going to happen for next year. Okay, with those, because those are the main things. Now, if something else comes up during the year, we're going to do something at Negroes Hall or we're going to do something else, we can add that in. But I think that's the basics that should be on the website, the dates, the places where they are, and then the birthdays. I think those are cool.
And I would like to even see maybe if we could get it done for this, you know, starting in this November.
That's Veterans Day. I'm just offering suggestions.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Because we used to do that, okay. Right? And then we had a lot more stuff going on. And then the things that would come up unnaturally would be a new cemetery or some other things in the community that could happen that we could do that could be viable if we decide to do, quote unquote, the thing with Katie Calvota and Pants OC. Or we decide some of the groups are going to do something at the new one-stops, whether it be at Laguna or at what's the face of Brea, those kinds of things. In fact, at some point in time, we might even want to break down and say have a meeting at those two facilities. But anyway, those basics would be Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Person's Day, and the birthdays. And then we can fill in the blanks with the committee during the year.
Bobby, you said that we don't have a Facebook page or Instagram page.
I'll talk to you about it all.
Okay. Not going to open that kind of worms. I will say, for what it's worth.
Yeah, just put your arm around me.
That's another agenda. Pick and choose your new county council. Okay.
Lieutenant Colorado again did recommend, what he voiced to me for his committee report is that, you know, I don't know how hard it is to update the website, but I think one of the easy ways for us to do it is also posting things in minutes. I mean, now that we have action meetings, we read stuff in, okay, there's this event. So the question is, do we want it at one place on the website or are we fine reading it into the minutes?
I mean, from a communication standpoint, it should be a rolling calendar. It's just, it hangs in a site.
I have a question in this. This is something I guess staff would want to talk to legal about, but it seems to me the easiest thing to do is Google Calendar that only OCFAC members have access to or the communications and event chair, and then hosting that, you know, linking in that Google Calendar. And because there's no private, I mean, when you work in government, you can't put any private stuff on a Google Cloud because there's no data privacy. But an events calendar, go on a Google Calendar. and it's so easy to use. Is what do people think of that? And Eric, is that something that could be linked to the VSO website?
I mean, I'll say like
veterans,
that for us, but the Board of Supervisors is not, it's not, and it's not visible to the community either. Like,
the other thing too is we got to remember, we're supposed to be serving Board of Supervisors of 130,000 veterans in this county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but we have to tactically look at that. It's just fun.
I don't think so.
What was that question?
Oh, is the website a WordPress site? Or I mean, what's the technology?
No, it's not WordPress. It's a different, what do you call it, WordPress. It's not WordPress.
It's not WordPress.
Sure, you know that. It's a different name, but it, yeah, works similar ways,
okay,
but not WordPress specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll something we'll kind of dig into to see what technically we can do and what we can do.
Eric, so what do you propose? What would make your perspective?
I know that going off in the past, but Carl David, who was one of the committee members who was communications, he had an Excel spreadsheet that he was putting these things on.
And then could that be?
Well, we never got off the ground. I know there were some discussions on how we would implement, but we never were able to reconcile the spreadsheet with
that
was on because he was Excel.
You're speaking my language. I love Excel.
I know.
I love.
I think I said that in
the last
week. But yeah, that's where it was housed and trying to figure out, what would be the best way to bring that to this body and have it public facing.
It also just came up in the steering committee of the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative, the idea of having a calendar. So it may be that, resources from that group, are going to build that. And, it would be equally as valuable and important for OCSA just to be able to take whatever's already there and put it out in other channels. It doesn't matter who does the work. The point is that the work is done and multiple people are getting it out. So it might be an opportunity to collaborate there. Jeff Madonna heads that program for this guy,
Yeah.
He was just talking about this. And so I think that, it might be worth talking about jointly, and I'd be happy to follow up with him on that too.
So that's a good idea. Can I then make a suggestion? If we could direct the events committee to compile a list of veterans event and make a recommendation as how to publish it. I mean, he can obviously send it to all of us, but he can...
connected
resources
that you share with the collaborative, and I think I'd be happy to talk to Jeff as well, and
yeah,
if he wants to come present a calendar to us, just so that we know it's there.
Right,
that would answer the mail,
and this would go on the collaborative's website too. That'd be the picture. So
right,
it could be drawn on by any number of.
But we can share our humble sides.
I don't want to spend too many meetings, right, and days go by. I think he could use some help. Do we have anyone who wants to volunteer to be on the events committee with him? Because right now, he's by himself.
Committee of one.
I'll do that.
Well, that's great.
Thank you.
I'd like to circle back to Jeff on the collaborative resource, but I feel free to let me know.
We just give you the intent that we've got to comply with our bylaws, so we need to make recommendations, or we need to provide the Board of Supervisors with information concerning veterans-related events in Orange County, and then whatever format you guys, whatever you recommend. It would be nice if you could come to the board after talking.
Yeah, let's
with
put
Jeff
it on. Yeah, let's have it on the agenda, and you guys can just come up with it. And he's done most of the work. I mean, it's in this report, which didn't get out with the agenda because I didn't get it today. But I'll give you a copy. I've got a printed copy and I can also afford it to you. But it's very important that Steve volunteering himself gets in the action minutes. that's all that needs to be in.
So am I clear because it's not in the action minutes?
No, you already volunteered for.
No, I am just saying it wasn't recorded.
Well,
it wasn't recorded. Well, it's on an audio
tape. It is.
I'll
dig that.
But, yeah, I know you would.
So
I'm going to bug Jeff about this matter too. And so I'm going to take it on personally with the collaborative. I'd like to see the collaborative do it. I think they have some resources there
that
already.
Would be great.
And our community is so disparate. I think one of the best things you could do to organize, and for instance, it would be something that would help
Tammy and Katie in what they're trying to do with Advance. Let's see if they could see all the events and have a point of contact. It would help veterans enormously.
That calendar is informed by the Collaborative Committee on Aging Veterans, by the Housing Committee, by the Employment Committee, by the Health and Wellness Committee, by the Legal Committee. There's a lot of funnel links into that calendar that it makes sense that it would be a central hub that everyone could draw.
That would be great. Thank you.
And would you be able to make a connection and have them if the council feels that that'd be a good benefit for someone to come and talk about or say?
I was just in contact.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's just been discussed.
Talks all the time.
But I'm sure that
works over here, Tustin.
Hey, right. Yeah. Center is on the collaborative.
Yeah.
Get,
so. Right.
Okay. So that's the guidance we'll give. And then for communications committee, so then what do we envision the communications?
Yeah.
Is doing, because events are great, and in terms of any events that we attend or want broadcast, is that what communications does? Or
I look at it as the channels and what do we have to expose to us, just through the BSO office. But it sounds like we've pulled back on some of
those. I was about to say, if we don't have any social media connections, we don't have an email. It's, how are we communicating and what is it that we're communicating? So, do you, having thought about it, do you want to revisit and make a suggestion?
I think I need to talk. I need to talk to certainly the BSO and see exactly what we have. But, my background is digital. And it just sounds like that's been kind of yanked. And, I need to understand what the left and right it is and what's available. That's really what it is, because
I'd like to ask you this then. Why not talk to Eric? And if necessary, I think Eric or Claudia can put us in touch with County Council and or IT, but come back with a recommendation for us specifically on October 11th about what you think. If you decide, I think that the boundaries are so tight, we don't really need a communications committee because we're not able to communicate in any of these ways.
We should have
our bylaws.
That could be the recommendation. Amend the bylaws.
Yeah. That's something to be said. I would like at a minimum to see progress made on the website. You know, there's not pictures, there's names. I think at a minimum, I've got my personal email address. I don't know if that's the best way to go forward or if we...
That is a question, and we've asked that before. Is there a way to get some kind of a county email address? Because I've got my personal email and my personal cell, but there isn't any way for people to contact Doc.
And even if it's one of those, if you can click on the supervisor and it sends them an email, council member, whatever district, send them an email, and then it goes through the website and it sends it to the personal email. Because the problem we have is right now we're using our personal emails. If we get a FOIA request, now they're going through our personal emails.
Open.
Everything's open. And so it would be nice. And then also it's kind of, from a professional standpoint, right? If we're telling our veterans we're at your disposal, and some of us, do they stalk us on LinkedIn or Facebook or send to our personal emails? I just think that there's probably a good way that we could.
Get crushed on your personal email too, and you don't want that.
John, the other thing for communications, there are certain groups in the community that are having different veterans programs or veterans events that we should know about. That's where the communications piece would be. Case in point, I know there's getting ready to be a big group coffee over at American Legion at 291, where they're bringing in some BFW people and all that to talk. I know that there's a couple other things coming up down the road. For veterans events that are being involved with some.
But isn't that part of the events committee consolidating that? Or
it's a two-way street. It could be an event thing, but yet you still got to get to work.
Well, I think the communication piece of linking all these organizations together is super important, kind of like you're talking about the calendar.
Yeah, but it can work either way. It's an event, you need to know about it, but you got to communicate it.
I think there's overlap in with those two committees.
And then the problem when they're talking, then all of a sudden you got a potential Brown Act when you have the two. So I think maybe, just given the amount of people that we have, it might make sense where we combine committees. Again, say that there's another bylaw amendment, and that way we can have a committee of three people, right? Instead of
two.
So maybe that's the
committee. Are we?
But we're just not getting the volunteers, right? Okay. Like it's, you know, we've got two committees with one to two, now two. Thank you.
So Lex and Stephanie are effective of putting you in a corner and getting you to volunteer. So
yeah.
I think you got to show up and do that.
So
we don't mind being the bad cops.
We don't get any good cops if there's bad cops. So maybe that's a recommendation that you guys come back and make, right, after giving it some thought. Because if there's so much overlap, is it better to have just one committee taking care of it versus two? But at the minimum, I would like to get some progress made on the website. And you just said you're great.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Doing it for free.
Never
so the only other committee, I'm sorry, so to you asked, is the other, we've got the life score. And I don't know, we don't have any, do we have anyone, a discussion on it, if you want to.
We can.
I know you briefly touched on it last time, but we didn't have those report in front of us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just might be a good opportunity.
I mean, Steve and I, you know, and actually, you know, Eric was able to test drive it. And, you know, again, it's like everybody wants to put something on an application to gather data. You know, we found that it was, you know, the interface was interesting, but really the user experience and wasn't all that great. We also found us, you know, funding, not, you know, kind of bypassing the beta prospect of actually testing it out with a certain group of individuals and looking at end results. Like, is this truly helping save lives? Because that's ultimately what they're trying to do, is have a system app where you can self-report, but also gain on a family network of supporting members in order to be able to improve mental health, but also improve support. What we found was, when we looked at it, and when they didn't really give us a business plan, is that nobody was really stepping up the table to do a beta. They kind of wanted us to be able to fund it to full run, and they're asking for a grant for $2 million from the county, an MHSA grant. And we couldn't find the state or the federal government got involved. There were no other larger counties with more resources that were really getting involved with this. And again, we thought it was interesting technology, but we kind of wanted to see some meat. Like, where's the test run on this thing? You know, what's the results? What's the deployment plan for this county? Is it going to be the VSO's office? We couldn't answer a lot of questions. And so Steve and I both came to agreement, and plus the app was clunky at best. And I know my next door neighbor, who is a Marine, PTSD, there is no way that kid is going to utilize this app. It asks about 52 questions, and you just end up stopping within 2 days. It actually ticked my wife off, and she wasn't even in it. So it was one of those things where we just like to be able to see a beta, like to see the technology further develop, like to see some results. We didn't see that.
So Alexis, you said giving up personal data is difficult. Asking veterans to do that. So I signed up for the app, and I did it for 2 months. Third month, I got my reminder. And I said, so, but I actually did do it in 2 months. So yes, it's about, I think, 256 questions. So the second month, it's the same 56 questions.
Yeah.
And I had an initial score that, you know, I have a happy life. I got like an 85 or something. My next score was like 85. So I'm just thinking, my third month, I'm like, yeah, I'm just good. 85. I'm just wasting 15 minutes or 20 minutes of doing the same two questions. So it became annoying.
Yeah. And again, I think when someone is in that level of distress, they have to,
answer that many questions.
It's stressful.
It was pressure. It was pressure. Because I was in the beta test, as far as I'm concerned. And it was a little bit of pressure on me to the third month. And I said, nah, this is, I thought John said, job is no way. And I know it's going to affect staff. Staff's going to end up having to do most of this stuff.
And a lot of the viral nature of it is relying on the county, not necessarily the VSO, to step forward on funding it. And there was just nothing guaranteed. And when you really talk about the employment of an application system, $2 million is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's really nothing. I mean, it would fund probably a bunch of developers, and then there would be nothing left for execution.
I was curious, did they say how much a beta test would run?
Like they say they can't do it unless they go full.
Okay.
I mean, I do think it's sort of like, well, we've also moved past this, have we not? I mean, we got your recommendation previously, negative, and I think we didn't move forward, but we voted on it, voted not to support it. But I mean,
I did encourage him.
If
we did vote not to support
it. No, we did it a previous meeting.
In the letter,
we had action minutes. We did not.
Sorry, I'm here.
I don't think we took a vote. We did not move forward with their. They had asked us to consider whether we wanted to recommend it to the Board of Supervisors, and we already had said no. We voted on. So I don't want to spend more time on it because it's.
So yes, and then I'm
glad to have the report.
I apologize because at the last meeting that was. You made the recommendation not to support it.
Correct.
But we didn't have it as an action
item. Well, we didn't have it in a letter. We also didn't have a letter in front of us.
So we didn't have, so to my knowledge, there hasn't been, maybe it was one meeting I was at on maternity leave, but the last meeting, I think you had made the recommendation, but we didn't have your report and there was no action item because I remember the gentleman showed up wanting to discuss it and it wasn't even a discussion item. Yeah. So I'm like, guys, we can't discuss it. We can't vote on it. I mean, you can give your committee report. And then you said that and said, I had a paper copy. So I said, can you submit it for the next meeting?
Yeah.
But there's still, it doesn't look like anyone is, you know.
The thing is the paper copy wasn't in front of anybody.
Yeah.
And so I think we do need to actually.
Well, I don't think we can because it's not an action item. I think based on your discussion, there's probably no one that wants to make a motion on it.
Yes.
I understand it. So, but if we did, you would need to put it on next meeting's agenda. Do I have that right?
So we have your report.
That's in the agenda. It's in there. And if anyone wants to make a motion, they need to do it the next meeting.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. All right. So moving on. I have no updates except to say I do have one update about an event. I just wanted to broadcast it. Heroes Hall is going to host its Veterans Day event on Veterans Day, which we normally don't do. We do on Saturday closest. Veterans Day happens to fall on Saturday. So on Saturday, the 11th of November, we're going to host the event. We're doing it at 2:00, which is normally when we do it anyways, but that should allow folks, most of the veteran events are at 11. And the reason I really highlighted this early is we're going to be unveiling a plaque. Bobby's part of the foundation that helped pave the plaque to post 9/11 veterans but post 9/11 coordinate. So it's sort of high time. The criteria ends on December 31st, 2022, which was when the National Defense Medal stopped being given out. So it's basically a clear demarcation from the Department of Defense. And so wasting no time, the Heroes Hall Foundation that supports Heroes Hall went ahead and created this plaque. And so if you're available, that would be a really nice event, I think, to attend. It's going to mean a lot to a lot of people, I think.
And if I might add to it, would be unveiling the Serenity Walk also that day. There's a new section in Heroes Hall that'll be outside by the A4.
It's already open. You did a ribbon.
It's ribbon cutting, but you didn't. Never mind.
Okay, so I think we have a report from Claudia, and we're also hoping, I think, to hear from Mayor.
Yes, we will. And I think a lot of it we've kind of already discussed. I do want to bring back to the PACT Act. Yes, our office has been busy. Eric, I'll give you a little more hands-on. I know last week it was quite busy in our lobbies with everyone trying to meet the deadlines. We had early this week as well. Yesterday was jam-packed in there of individuals trying to get to that deadline for the post of retro, right? That goes back to August of 2022. So that is going. I haven't seen the lobby today because I've been back-to-back meetings, but it's been busy. Okay. So thank you. So I know, Stephanie, you mentioned that earlier, so that was on my report out. Also, in recognition, August 7th, Purple Heart Day, we have a very lovely story to share. Eric will give you the details. As one of the things, you know, people ask, what does the Veteran Service Office do? And really helping our individuals, not just to connect to benefits and services and compensation, but some of the things that come up in recognition to help them. And whether that is to search for things, apply for recognitions. And we did have a veteran here, very thankful to our office. It's one of our service claims, assisted them in getting some information that will basically showcase why they were need to be recipients of the Purple Heart. They actually were recognized and received their Purple Heart.
Oh,
so great. Eric, you want to share some of those, the details of that case?
Yeah, that one, really important both to all of the staff as well as our office as a whole. So Veterans Service Office, continually busy. We're looking at different ways to serve veterans, even more remotely that can't be here. But this particular veteran came into our office seeking to do an appeal that had been denied several years ago. Service officer sat down and talked to him about the requirements to get into that appeal. In the process, started looking through the file. And all of the claims reps do this. They go through the VA claims file once we have access to do some other type of discovery and research to make sure they've gotten all the slot or access to it to continue to inform them. This veteran, 5 decades ago, was awarded, over 5 decades ago, was awarded the Purple Heart. Never knew it, wasn't aware of it. The service officer then went on to submit some information to National Archives to inform them to get the Purple Heart. This access is important because veterans and, the gentleman today left, who was a Purple Heart recipient.
Yeah.
This gentleman was only in our office to do one thing. Our office is always continuing to help veterans to get all benefits sought, those that are unasked as well as those that are asked. They were very appreciative and surprised because they've always had the door closed and something was saying no. But this veteran is very happy that this service officer was not a veteran, was able to do that to diligence and find this award. Make connections not just with him but also for his family. So he just got his Purple Heart mailed to him from National Archives, which I was shocked about because it's and this happened last September. So it took a while, but at least he's got that, which affords him even more access and additional things that he's actually entitled to. So we're working on really trying to showcase showcase his experience with our office, but also the work that actually this office does and celebrate his service. So that's going to be hopefully coming out soon.
The great story down
the website. It's amazing. And it really is one of many. You get veterans who are sending the emails again now talking about their experience with the PSO. This family is really appreciative of that work, and we're blessed to continue to do it.
Late service Vietnam, like the end of war in Vietnam?
Nope. He got out, it was 53 years. So we're talking about 1970.
Yeah. But where did he earn the Purple Heart?
He was a tank person. So I have to.
But Vietnam in the 70s, the tail end of the war, which was a really awful time to serve.
It really
and
was.
A lot of things through the cracks. And the machine wasn't taking very good care of the troops.
Absolutely. But he's, all of that's behind him. He's looking forward to everything else that he's got coming. We're just excited. We have a time. And since Monday was Purple Heart Day, it's just appropriate for us to really try and bring him back in the office and talk a little bit more with him about what that looks like. So
what's going on. And to the fact that lots of surviving spouses come into the office. We're finding out this information. I feel like a lot of the work that we do within the community to talk about how to access services and help the Veteran Service Office for this county every day of the week and talk about the work that we can see from beyond what people actually have been looking for. We've gotten a lot of survivors, surviving spouses last week and this week for finding out information about the PACT Act and some of that discovery. And even myself on Tuesday spoke to two widows whose spouses have passed away. From the issues related to the PACT Act, talked about a service connection post-death, which is possible. We've done it a lot. Last one.
So I want to piggyback on that, and I'm also mindful of the time. Yeah, I'm like, exactly. Oh my gosh, almost. The last update, because I do want to report out of an ask that was brought forth during the last meeting, and if I recall correctly, previous, was also the VSO like a report out or some type of like a CC day type of report out. So now that, and Eric is fourth week kind of officially back in the office, we will be putting our heads together so that we can formulate a report out, what type of information, what is useful, and we'll probably be reaching out to you also to think about what kind of information, as you can imagine, we can load up, you know, a 10-page paper or report out, but maybe what would be the whole purpose of it to where it will also help you and talk about communication. Maybe this is something we want to work with our communications committee in looking at what kind of information we want to display on this report out that will also help you on information you can share in your community. So we have some work to do on this end in terms of brainstorming on what we would draft or at least what would we recommend this look like so that we can make that approved by county process and make it public, because if it's something that you will be able to take with you and share it, so not something just internally, and this is kind of where our thought process has been, not just internally for you all to be aware, but something that you can share. We'll come up with some drafts of what
something that could be a handbill that could be easily printed out PDF.
I do think two things that I think would probably be of interest to OCPAC, because they've been consistent concerns for years, would be the wait time for appointments, broken down both by in-person appointments, because they're very different, and phone appointments. And then another thing would be some measure of where those folks are coming from, because, or some way to get to that, because I will tell you that I frequently hear veterans in South County in particular feel that it's very hard to get here for in-person appointments. And I know that you've had very successful phone model, but I don't know that that's always successful to the veteran. So, you know, that might be just some way of addressing that question. I think is something that we'd probably be interested in. Did anybody else have anything?
I did. I mean, I'd also like to see the data broken down. I mean, it's one thing for me to go in and get a driver's license stamp, which is awesome. Thank you guys. But another to say, like, there are more complex cases, right? Like, I think, you know, filing initial claims or, you know, requests for percentage increases, things like that. I think that for me probably would be more interesting. To see that, because we don't want the data clouded by some of the, you know, the things that are, I'm going to say easy, because we're certainly appreciate that the tasks that are a little bit more clear cut can be solved on one visit. So, I would also, do we do any type of like a survey at the end, satisfaction survey? Like, how is your, you know, are you guys satisfied? Like, where did you guys, or anything like that with the people, like to get feedback, right, from the veterans who have those appointments?
We do have a survey. Uh-huh. We do have a survey. Veterans, being veterans. The survey is the last thing that we'll fill out. Uh-huh. They'll send me an email. I mean, we had that discussion earlier about what this program was trying to accomplish. We do have tools to be able to get information on the veterans' experience with the office, but like some of the information you're talking about, complex cases. I'd like to know a little bit more about what that looks like from this bias perspective, because it's a complex case for what you guys might say. Something that's an easy thing.
Well, I think she did say two initial claims, and it, right, like, I mean, that's very different from a lot of the work where we're basically going to CalVet or the state parks or what have you. I think initial VA claims would be one thing to be broken out. And I have another question. What's the current wait time, Eric, for an in-person and for a phone? Do you happen to know off the top?
Probably for a phone appointment or for
both. I was interested in the difference.
We're probably scheduling, and that's a moving target. I've always said that it's a moving target because I can see someone that comes into office on Monday, and we look at it and see that we're booking appointments in October, and they have an urgent issue, and we're going to try and expedite the claim. So it's really hard for me to really say where it is right now without going back and up that data.
So
maybe before I left, we're looking at about 2.5 months out, but that's the information that I personally would not like this body to share publicly because it is a moving target. It seems like it's really urgent. And we want people to make sure they have access. So I think that in my mind, especially with this staff, get them here and we get to really have a conversation with through our phone line so that they can get access to us so we can file that claim and make sure they're getting the right, correct information.
So if you go to use your online form, though, for instance, it doesn't say that if you have an urgent issue, like you have 60 days to respond to your claim evaluation with the VA, it doesn't say, well,
it doesn't.
It doesn't tell you that you have the opportunity to, like, I know that you would see that person if they contacted you and said, listen, I only got, but we're not advertising that. And that's important as well.
You're right, you're right. I think that is something that people.
Where is it advertised? Just,
I mean, as far as
it's not on
the website. So that's something.
I mean, and loudly advertised. Like, because an anxious veteran that gets this letter, or a spouse that gets this letter that says you've got 60 days to respond, and they go on the website and they say you can book an appointment, which I've done, and it says it's 2.5 months out. They feel like, well, the Orange County Veterans Service Office cannot help, and that's what they go away with, and that's what we hear about from veterans, not surprisingly. So that's the thing we could change, I think.
I can add to that because I think that's one of the questions
we were just
talking about doing.
Sorry, I'm going to add to this because we did this while you were away. We did update the website. So currently our VSO's website does say walk-ins, call or appointments. If you prefer to schedule an appointment, schedule here. However, we do take walk-ins, and so that is now on our website updated.
The walk-in is the same thing, to be frank, because with a walk-in, you're not guaranteed to be seen. Am I correct?
Oh, no. That's not true. You're seeing
everybody, because that's a change. Because I knew there were days when people waited in that office, and then if they didn't get seen at the end of the day, they said, sorry.
Well, so that was now about 24 months ago or longer.
But so now
we had online, but now...
Yeah.
We don't have those long lines, so everybody's
okay. That's improvement.
The point, though, that you raised, Chairwoman, is a good one, because if you're a veteran, I mean, I've done pro bono work for appeals and whatnot, and having clients that don't have homes, you know, and they say, and I say, send me the communication, I'm the attorney, and then they send it to the last address, and then it gets bounced around, and you don't have it, and then all of a sudden there's missed deadlines, and you can't get anyone on the other end, and so. You know, I think having something like on the website, like if you have, or if you're 60 days out or 30 days out from a deadline, or you missed a deadline, call and or go to a walk-in appointment or something like that, just so that, I think your point is a good one, that I just will not do anything, right? If I can't get an appointment. So
so some of the things that we are looking at, Eric and I, now that he's back, so I hope he got a lot of rest. is looking at some of the internal processes, our claims representative training opportunities, our systems enhancements as well, like abilities to do the appointments and what and how to track like what the reason for the appointments. So we are doing some internal looking at those processes, appointment setting and tracking some more data for us that we currently don't have. And then, of course, we've incorporated like officer of the day so that we can triage our walk-ins so that we can make sure that anybody that walks through this office is seen and addressed, and if there are any more follow-ups, that they are appropriately triaged for that as well. So we still have a little bit of work to do, but one of the things that as we're envisioning what a report out could look like, right, and because we can come up with like 100 different formats, but really hone in on what would be helpful for the community as well as you're engaged in your communities, that you feel like this is something I can share, and especially if you're trying to get someone here for us to help them, whether, you know, physically or in a phone in person. So we're envisioning of we should create something that we can report out, and because these meetings are public, that this piece of a report can also be a shareable document within your communities and helpful.
One thing I would ask, though, is we can always go closed session with things, but we also, it's great that we have something that we can share, but we don't want something that we can just share the good news, right? Like, we need part of the of us asking and talking about is being able to say, like, if there are long wait times, or if you guys are lacking certain resources or understaffed, or, you know, not getting the support, or something is going on, right? Like, or you guys are getting complaints. Like, we need to see that, too. We don't want to just have, like, a pretty graphic to show and say, but this is awesome, too. So it's great that if we have that, but we also need to get
need a snapshot.
We need an accurate snapshot. And if that has to be marked confidential and doing closed session or whatever, we can discuss that.
And I just want to move it along because it's coming on 5. Staff has to go, and we still haven't heard from Ben. So Ben,
you got 10 minutes, Ben.
Yeah, you got it.
We're showing the old time.
And somebody didn't tell Tammy she could leave.
I just wanted to highlight the stand down that's coming up on September 13th at the Tierney Center in Tustin from 8 to 4 p.m. I've been here for 5.5 years. This could be the biggest event I think March County's ever had. Just looking at the way this is getting set up, not only are there tons of organizations, that's usually the case. You know, our providers here are very committed, and they come to events. But this is really why I wanted to highlight this, because I think this is dealing with one of the biggest problems we have with veteran services. This is on September 13th. This is from breakfast and lunch from 8 to 4 p.m. But there is transportation for this event to pick up veterans at VA Long Beach, Santa Ana Community Resource Referral Center, Laguna Hills CBOC, Anaheim American Legion, Huntington Beach Central Library. I know that they're working on a lot more than that too. So that is one of our biggest problems. And Tammy, I highlight this for you too, is, you know, reaching out to veterans that are in need, that are not able to get places, that don't know about events, you know, certainly senior veterans that are isolating. And I think that just the spirit of this, I had some efforts, but this is this is a big discussion that last housing meeting they went to with their collaborators, all the different strategies to bring veterans there, getting every community provider to also see it as their own responsibility to outreach to veterans too. It's not just you show up at the event and you do your thing there, but your job is also to bring people there. And so I hope that this one is a good move in that direction. I think it's just really, this is the main reason I bring it to the OCPAC, because to me this is an issue we're thinking about, is what is our ability to do more to reach out to veterans that are not getting help. There's a lot of veterans that are out there that aren't getting help, and it's always worth creative thinking about what to do about that.
Thanks. Can you send, you have a flyer, can you send that to Claudia, Hera, myself?
We already have, absolutely.
Oh, you just got, you're gonna share it with you?
Yes.
That would be terrific. Anything else, Ben?
I'd love the new format. It's been a long, in-depth discussion meeting today. You know, every other month to build towards that seems better than once a month that just kind of is maybe a quick in and out. So I think lots of discussion. And so thanks.
Thank you for that. Council comments, Steve, anything? Bobby?
Of course I do. Couple things. Two gentlemen left because you're not supposed to talk to it. Well, the comments, I respond, but I would love to say CalVet has a DBBE program and Department of General Services. They meet there, and I'm part of that group that meets every other month. If we have data of the DBBEs, the supplier diversity and stuff in the state. So that information is out there. Unfortunately, they've probably been looking at the wrong spot. But that information is out there, all right? Because they keep a big tab, especially from the Department of General Services,
and also they do a certification process. Moving along, I got an opportunity to be invited to this Lindsey Sand, Navy veteran, who is now the new Cal Vet Secretary. Okay. Great, she's going through the ranks, and it's good. She's the new FX. She's the first woman as Cal Vet Secretary, but there was another lady back in 1965 or 75 that was a direct to the position. And the last and final thing is because of Executive Director 9981 by President Truman, I was asked by the Department of Labor to be on the national panel to discuss Black veteran employment in the United States, representing the Black veterans, I guess, and Black Chamber of Commerce for Chapter. That was a nationwide piece. They did three different panels on four different days, or three different days. But anyway, that's all I have.
Ms. Weiss?
I just want to say Flying Leatherneck Historical Foundation is attempting to get the Marine Corps Aviation Museum down in Miramar and move it up here to Orange County. I'm actually on the board of that as well, and they're making progress. I can fill you in more next time because I'm mindful of time. But for those of you interested in marine aviation, I mean, I think it's a great draw and great opportunity also to get veterans and engage as well with the museum. So, and also make future military personnel as well and the local community. One thing I want to say, since we kind of already addressed the committee reports, is I don't know if this is appropriate to say now, but I don't, communications committee, if you're interested in also reaching out to Eric and, you know, talking about it, if that's inappropriate. I was going to suggest an ad hoc
committee
earlier, but I don't know if communications is about something that you want to do, but we can discuss that next time.
Put it on the next one, but
okay.
We'll have
internal meetings so that we have.
Anything else?
Alexis? Yep. The only thing I wanted to talk about is just I think going to be my, I don't say nightmare case, but I am a burn pit. I have chronic lymphatic leukemia and it's service connected at 0%. And subsequently, after I got CLL, I ended up having three other cancer diagnoses within like a year. And the good news is they've been able to yank them out of me. So the reason why I'm talking about this is just not personally, but I did sign up for an in-person appointment. And because of our company changing database systems, the appointment dropped out of my calendar. So I actually called the VSO office to say, hey, could you please, research the database of my appointments? Because I think it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. They said they couldn't do it, and I just didn't know if they could or not. But they said, you're going to get a ton of emails and a ton of texts, because I did it through the website, to remind you. The next communication I got was Monday saying, hey, your appointment was on Friday and you missed it. So my concern is if from my perspective, trying to do the due diligence to find it, other veterans may be experiencing the same thing, is that if they do lose their appointment, they have no ability to go back and find that. And that is a problem, I think, at least in the feedback system for that. So,
and that is a systems glitch, because you're not the first person that said that.
Okay.
Yes, that is something.
But that's something I don't know if there's a fix down the road, but it needs to be an agenda item, because obviously access and being able to follow.
Parting shot. I'm going to send around the agenda beforehand next time so that any of you can add something if you like. Let's make sure that's on the agenda. And Eric, if you can give us some thoughts on that.
Is it an agenda item or is it something that we hit?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. I think we can close. Thank you, Ned.
Thank you for being here.